We're going to start on more of a somber note today. I got a email from someone in Wisconsin. And this, you know, this is nice that we're starting to build a little hockey. I mean, there's already a hockey community, but
yeah.
A little community within the podcast where we can talk about anything that's affecting people from all over the place,
right.
Which is kind of nice. So a tragic event has happened. In Wisconsin. So I got just a random email the other day. I'm going to read it to you and then we can just talk about it quick after. So this is what the email said. I'm reaching out to ask for assistance in spreading the word about a 13-year-old hockey player of mine who tragically passed away after being struck by a truck waiting for the bus on May 12th, 2023. I listened to the podcast and love the messages that they aren't always just about hockey, but about the broader message hockey helps to teach. Like the message about, was it worth it? In terms of, and that was, he was referring to the clip about, was it worth the investment in hockey? As a coach and parent of three hockey players, this moment in time is why I coach. To teach strength in times of massive adversity. I never thought my players would need it when they're 12 and 13. It was a message for when they're adults. I was lucky enough to coach her for four of the last 6 years, and her family have become close friends. We're a small club of 100 to 150 skaters in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Hockey was her passion and she had big dreams of playing college hockey. She had the drive and determination to make that dream a reality. What I'm asking is if it's possible you could use your depth of hockey contacts to spread the word out past our small town. I met with her parents tonight. I can leave the names out. And we discussed their plans with the money that has been raised. They have dreams as big as hers and want to build a new rink in town, which they could name after her. Our current rink is over 30 years old and running on borrowed time. I'm not asking for your company to personally donate, but just help spread the message. Hopefully, you'll get to the right person to help this dream become a reality. Our hockey voice is small, and hopefully the size of your voice can help spread her story and her parents' goals to make sure she is forever tied to hockey. I'll include the website and additional link to the interview I was able to give to provide credibility for the cause. For those who want to confirm this request is legitimate. Thanks for anything you can do to help spread the word. So, her name is Evelyn Gurney. Hopefully I'm saying the name.
Can you spell G-H?
Gurney?
Yeah.
G-U.
Okay.
G-U-R-N-E-Y. Yeah. Evelyn. So, 13-year-old hockey player that passed away. So, shit, man. Yeah. Just shit. And, you know, these are the kind of things that remind you that it's about more than just hockey stuff. This reminded me of the Humboldt thing. Humboldt Broncos, when that was like a big nationwide story. And this, maybe the scale of this, because it wasn't a full team, isn't the same, but these are kind of things that slip through the cracks that we could have never heard about this, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I was just thinking about that. Like, when it's not you, it doesn't, like, it's not like it doesn't matter, but when it's not you, it doesn't affect you the same way. Another example of that was we had on Charlie's team, there was a couple kids that played, and I got to know a couple kids that played with the kid that the goalie, forget his last name now, that played in Don Mills on the super team they had when they were the 04s. And, you know, you hear the story and you think it's tragic, but then when you actually hear the background of it, what happened, it's like, oh my God, it was obviously a brutal story. And then when you actually see how much it affects those kids and the families that were tight to them, because you forget about all that stuff, right? Like, maybe you don't forget, but when it's not your problem or your team or directly concerning you, it's like you can brush it aside a little bit. So I would say then this happens a lot, obviously. So so I think obviously if we can send out a link, you know how to do all that kind of stuff. And if anybody feels like they could help out, it would be great. I'm sure those people really appreciate it, and we'll do our job of sending it out.
Yeah, sure. The other one was it last year that Eli Palfreyman from the Air
passed away. There's another one, yeah.
Right. So like these stories happen, and it's just
directly with a lot of the kids in the OHL kids, but a lot of the kids in the Kitchener Guelph area, Hamilton area that knew him very, very well, affected them very, very deeply. It happens. It's no good.
So this email was from Joe. His name's Joe, and he was the coach of that team. So as soon as I read it, I was like, yeah, for sure, we can talk about it. So I'm going to add the links to the description of this episode, and then I'm going to cut this as like a separate clip, and I'll attach the news the news article to it as well, so people can see. And I'll probably throw a couple pictures up on the episode as well, on the video, so people can see it, because he sent me a follow up with a few pictures of her and whatever. So just a awful, tragic event, and definitely feeling for anybody that was affected, because these are the kinds of things that happen, man. And yeah. It's nice to, you know, have the hockey community come and rally around some of these things when they happen, because nobody likes seeing this kind of stuff. Hi.
Hey, Eric. Kind of just did this, didn't we?
This is fun. I like doing this.
Doing what?
The podcast, man.
Oh, I thought it was something else. Yeah.
How fun, man! It's so funny because we just have these talks no matter what. That's what's hilarious about, if we weren't recording, like, we'd have the same conversation we're having.
Yep.
You know, more or less.
Yep.
So we're on episode 4 today. So actually, I did an interruption episode with Deli. So when this episode comes out, Andy's is coming out tomorrow. Andy, couple yeah. Andys. So this is going to be out on Sunday. So I kind of put that in between because it's going to be like 6 straight episodes of parent stuff. So I thought it'd be nice to give a little break. I also sent out an email to all the members we're going to do a Q&A episode at the end of this, just to touch on any questions people have about the parent stuff, about the series, whatever. Like, we'll try to keep it in the context of the parenting series, because that seems to make sense. So if you're a member and you didn't get that email, sometimes those emails go to spam folder. So maybe check your spam folder, whatever, because sometimes they don't deliver properly, whatever.
I said, yeah, like I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything about that stuff.
So it's cool that we're getting, as time goes on, I keep trying to build that membership experience to be better and have more stuff and whatever. So
I have an off the cuff idea, by the way.
Okay, go.
I was thinking about it driving in this morning, sure. And maybe it's not appropriate for the
whatever
podcast.
We'll see.
Maybe it should be between just you and I.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I was thinking that I think we should send out surveys, not about the podcast, but about when we have a question about, let's say, your coach's experience or whatever, something like that. What were the biggest problems, and get, like, if there's a 2,000 people that send back, and we have a percentage of this, and this, we could, it's actually facts now. Like a couple things like that. How do you like your coach?
Totally.
I don't know. Give me another topic. I ran out already.
No, but, I get what you understand. Saying.
Like, surveys every once in a while, like, to engage the people, see what they're interested in too.
And that's why that membership thing is cool, because as it keeps growing, like, that's more, it's more and more data points of people that we get to talk to. So, that's another one of those things where if you are a member, you get to participate in that kind of stuff, in the Q&A and whatever. So take advantage of that. It's beyond just like the consultation stuff, which we're getting a lot of at the moment. So that's cool as that continues to grow. So if you guys are interested in doing that, if you want to be on that Q&A, whatever, that's only for the people that are members. So if you want to go on and be a member, then you'll see when you log in on your login page, there's a button to submit questions about the series, whatever, which I just added yesterday because I'm so tech savvy.
Oh, what? A button for what?
Like, where they can go to submit questions.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, so.
Good.
Yeah, I get computers. So
I don't.
Okay, cool. Next thing I'm going to talk about is, before we get to our topic, is Blue Star once again. So as you guys can see over Andy's shoulder, there's my product placement of the Blue Star supplements. Really cool how that worked out. We talked about it last week, so I'm not going to talk about it again. But I'm going to be reaching out to that member we talked about last time that helped us set it up, and see if he can want to do some recording on that, because that's a cool perspective to get from a guy that actually works with us and has talked to you and done consultations and all that kind of thing. So Blue Star, the link is in the description. If you guys buy supplements, protein powders, creatines, fish oils, greens, pre-workouts, and more, then use the link that's in the description of this video also, and you guys can go check that stuff out. Those are my ad reads for today. And then you can do all the regular stuff you guys are already doing, like sharing and leave a review on the podcast, and all that stuff helps a lot as well. So now we're going to go to our topic today. So this is episode 4 of our 6-part parenting series. We're going to talk about coaching today. So it's going to be kind of like a full analysis of coaching, You want to say something first?
No, but I'm correct.
Like you got
I got the look, but maybe I'm correcting you. It's not necessarily about coaching. It's about parents dealing with coaches. Is that the way to go?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Okay.
It's like the parent perspective on coaching. Okay. That's correct.
Okay.
So
still want to think people are learning how to coach.
Right, yeah. I'm going to title it Analyzing Your Coaches.
Okay.
That's what I think I'm going to title the episode for today. So basically, we're going to talk about all the common things that you're going to deal with, maybe come across as a parent. And as per our usual caveats, there's not a one answer for everything. So we talk about these things in general. And then hopefully you guys can take what we're saying and apply it to your situation. But like, it's not one thing, as I say before. We're going to talk about things generally speaking. And then like have a little bit of common sense about how to apply this stuff. Because we're not talking about any specific situation. And if you come to us with a specific circumstance, maybe our answer would change because of the circumstance that you're
just
in.
Just
right?
Like we had spring hockey the other day and a couple of people said, yeah, but we did it for this and this. And that's what we said in the podcast. Like, yeah. if you have a reason to do it, then do it. And, you know, God bless you and the horse you rode in on. It's fantastic. But
So we can start off. So the kind of the theme is going to be how to handle all things to do with your coaches from the parenting perspective. So maybe to start off, we can talk a little bit about, unless you have any opening thoughts, we can talk about maybe what you can, for youth levels, what you would kind of expect as ideal coaching as you go up. We kind of talked about it a bit last week too, but maybe we can just summarize that before we get into some of the specific issues.
Yeah, yeah. I won't take too long on
that. Yeah, that's
that,
cool.
I just put a couple things down here. What to expect from coaches at every age. You know, I'm not going to say at 8 and then 9 and this. It's basically at a younger age. Let's take a look at the youngest age possible. Like, so we're going to call it very young. Before I do that, I'd say like at every level, I think it's really important to remember that always have an element of fun. Like, that's actually very important. And, you know, you could even say, you know, because I know that we get some people that like to comment and say, well, it's not always about fun. It actually is.
Yeah, it
like,
actually is.
There's always a big part of it that's actually about fun. You know, you'll even hear NHL players say, you know, I wasn't having fun anymore. You know, I decided just go have some fun. Like, you do all your things, but have fun, enjoy playing the game, and then you kind of get your game back. So from, you know, so I would expect a coach to try to implement a certain amount of fun into every day. I'm not talking about, you know, bring balloons to practice, of course,
because that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a blast.
can I cut in on the fun thing for a sec?
Sure, you can. Okay, go.
So even like you're saying, even up to the pro levels, you can hear guys talk about how it's not fun. And even we were just having a conversation. You were talking to a coach before we started recording here, and it's as the adults, it's for some reason, I don't really know why, but it's easy to forget what it's like to be the person doing the job. And like, whether you're managing a group or you're at work or whatever, you want people to want to do the thing you need them to do. So if you set things up in a way where they're going to enjoy the process, it's a lot easier for them to get the work done, you know? So even a stupid example yesterday. So normally to start workouts, this is with our junior groups. These are all 17 to 20 year olds and maybe a couple are older. 22. And so normally we do like short sprints to start. So for the day yesterday, I gave him an option instead of doing short sprints if we play tag. So people are like, what are you talking about? You play tag. So I'd set up a small area and it was 1v1 tag and they actually played it. I'm going to put a video on TikTok about it if you guys want to see what it looked like. And it's not the same as the short sprint thing, but it's that quick change of direction type stuff, you know? And now, it's not exactly the same as the sprint, but it's gamifying quickness, which is what the point of the sprint is. So with a little bit of direction change, because we normally do things in different planes of motion as for our warm-up. So for yesterday, we just made a decision like, okay, let's make this fun. So we changed it up. And these are with 17 to 22-year-olds.
Yep.
And they loved it.
They loved it, right? And they were working out without being all serious about it.
Exactly. And it was that's exactly what they said. Yeah. They're like, when I first said the idea, they're like, okay, yeah, like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And then when they're done, they're like, man, that was fun. Like, that's got to be part of the deal. Or even like during their dynamic warm-up, we're throwing the football at them as they're getting warmed up, whatever. So it just makes it enjoyable to be in the environment, you know? So that's an important element of it at all ages, just to your point.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you cut me off because that was actually good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was good. That was a good point. You expanded on have fun, which is great. That's why I like your big mouth.
Yeah.
And then I think at every level, you should also expect an element of preparation from the coaches. I mean, that's not an unreal expectation. So, and it's just appropriate to the age. So just simply meaning, you know, when you go to a practice at whatever age it is, you should expect that the coach has some framework of a practice and what he's trying to accomplish. So whether they're 4 or 24, doesn't make a difference to me. So at the very, very young levels, I would say like, there's expect from a coach, not reality of a coach. Expect, I think you should expect like fun. I think you should, this is a very young, fun. I think it should be an encouraging environment. You know, it shouldn't be all mad face all the time. And I think that you should expect your coaches at that level to have a lot of patience. Like it's critical because they're young and they're not going to get a whole lot of things. As you move from maybe 9 years old, let's say it gets to the travel or triple A levels, then and of course this is a little bit dependent on the level you're playing as well, because at a triple A level you can do a little bit more with the skill level and stuff like that, and I'm not saying for sure the attention or the desire to learn is going to be different, but typically it is. Some of the guys stay back, so that's not totally true at this age, but nonetheless, which is a word I like to use once in a while. Lots of fun. It's got to be fun, man. It's got to be fun, but it's got to include some sort of hockey play. You are there to learn hockey, so
like even, instruction.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, and it could be as simple as breakouts and forechecks, or how to move the puck, you know, moving the puck properly, or you know, anything like that, and kind of hone on basics, right? And then emphasize development as opposed to emphasizing winning. You'd like to do both, obviously, but and now I know people, I know a lot of people like to say, yeah, but everyone, it's not all about development, it's not all about winning. You're not going to please them all, but it's at that age, it's not you have them work hard. But what I mean by winning versus development is like you're not shortening the bench like crazy, you're not running all kinds of power plays and stuff like that. You should be, your expectation as a 9-10 year old kid is to go play on a team, it providing I work hard and do my part the best of my ability, I should be able to kind of get the lines rolled for the most part, not 100%, but for the most part. And it should be very encouraging. And what I mean by that is especially at a young age, it's easy, like coaches, it's very easy. You know, here, another example, I think we talked about this, is that from a scout's perspective, right? When we talk about players, it's very hard to sit there and say, hey, what do you think of Eric? And you say, well, he needs work on his skating. Okay. But what's good about it, right? So I think it's very important at a young age that the kids hear what's good about them. So I think the coaches, you should expect your coach, especially at younger ages, that they're going to, if they make a good pass, it's going to be that's good, or a good effort, that they hear the good in their game so that they continue to try to blossom in that area as opposed to being finding the negatives. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable, right? And I think it's good that you tell them. That's another thing, because a lot of people don't do that. I think when you get to the, like, let's say 10 to 13, 11 to 13-ish, so we're getting into the serious, almost the puberty years, or you're entering the puberty years or whatever. I think it's similar of what I just said. I don't think you should ever take the fun out. I'm probably going to say this 100 times today. And I think that you still have to teach the hockey. And I think at this point you're teaching maybe a little bit more structure. I don't think so. I think you should, because you're here to teach hockey. So expectations from a coach should be like, once I get to the U13, U12-ish, U14, that we have a different structure than just forecheck and backcheck, right? It should be maybe you're implementing a little bit of strategy to your game, some power play, some PK, obviously, and just tightening up the game. You maybe have a neutral zone, net front presence, like all these little things that are going to make a difference. Maybe a tighter D zone, that you're teaching them the game of hockey so they can be better. So it's still on development 100%, but they're learning the game of hockey more, right? And then again, providing whatever level they're playing. And then I think when you get to 13 to the 16, 17 year olds, I still think, like, obviously fun, yes, but I still think that for the most part, you're rolling lines for the most part, right? Or you should expect that the lines should be rolled. The coach might tell you otherwise, and then you got a different thing, but with exceptions, though. So I think you should expect lines to be rolled. I also think you should expect some consequences for effort or for not paying attention to some details. I think you should expect that, like, because now it's like it's getting important and we're trying to develop players. I think developing the player development is critical, but I think you're playing to win. Like, that focus is still there. Like, I think it's a little bit more, you're trying to win hockey games and stuff like that, like, because you're teaching a little bit more structure. And I mean, if you're from a town of 30,000 people and you're playing a team from Chicago, try to win. But I mean, the chances are a little bit slimmer, right? So anyways, I think that. And I think you should expect your coach to help, to want, to help develop all players to get to the next level, even though some players who appear that they're going to be great may not be, and vice versa. And I think that what's also important to have expectations for your coach is that your coach has expectations of the kid and the parents, meaning I want your kid to show up on time. I want your kid to have, you know, all the manners and the good parts of life. And then I have expectations that he's going to play hard and follow a system to the best he can and be a good teammate and stuff. And if they don't have that, then expectations should be like, there may be some consequences for that. Or I say maybe because I'm trying to be a really nice guy, but like, if you don't listen to me, like, please stop, please don't play for me. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's,
sure,
that's where I go with that up until, you know, the youth hockey. Yeah.
Right. So that's good. So one thing I kind of want to just go back on to point out, because I was seeing some of the discussion from some of the last couple episodes because of how much we're emphasizing like the keep it fun part. That doesn't mean we're saying that you shouldn't expect any amount of instruction, teaching, or being hard on the kids when they're young. You know what I mean? So it's like some people were kind of saying, like, because we were emphasizing the fun part, the only reason we were doing that is because a lot of times that gets lost. Like, it's a given. Like, if anything, youth levels, they err on the side of over instruction and overdoing it and over everything, and they forget the fun part. That's kind of why we lean more towards emphasizing the fun. But that doesn't mean we're saying your U9 coach shouldn't teach you anything. Like, we're not just saying go out there and just play. Like, there should be some basic instruction where the coach is trying to teach them something, and the coach can be hard on the kids. It's not that there's a way to do it, obviously, and a way to not do it. But there can be moments where the coach can be hard on the kids, even when they're 9, even when they're 8. Like, that's fine, you know. And I do that with some of the, I don't have groups with me as that are that young, but it's the same idea with the young groups. Like, if they're being a pain in the ass, like, you can put the kids in line. Like, it's okay, right? So I want to clarify that, just because we're emphasizing the need to keep things fun and make sure the kids are enjoying it. That doesn't mean it's just chaos, crazy land with no instruction or no organization on the coaching part. Obviously, like, that should go without saying, but just to clarify, because I was noticing like some of the discussion was about was mentioning some of those things from some of the feedback that we were getting on those episodes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I know.
It's just, and I don't care, like, because obviously that's not what I'm just making it clear. Like, that's obviously not what we're saying. Like, you should expect your coach to be trying to teach. They are a teacher as a coach, so they should be trying. It doesn't matter what the age is. It doesn't matter if they're 4. It doesn't matter. They should be trying to instruct to the best of their ability as the coach at whatever age. That should be a given.
Yeah. Well, you know? Part of the thing I think we look at when we talk about the fun thing, it's like at certain levels of hockey, the fun police come out, and it's like, if I'm 8 and the coach has a rule of no swimming on game days, it's like, I understand the point of that, but I also get that they are allowed to have a little mini stick game or go for a swim. It's actually not going to totally drain them totally at 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. If they swim all day, that might be something. And that's where you check in a little bit, but it's like, that's okay to have fun. You know, when you go on the road trips and, you know, you hang out in the, you know, the kids love to play whatever it is. They love to do their stretch in front of the, you know, they walk through the concourse doing their stretches. And it's like, it's a pain in the ass to me as a dad watching a game, but it's like, they're just having fun and it's okay. I mean, to the point where you're not getting in other people's lives and pissing them off and stuff. But that's all I mean by having fun. The game itself, like, it's the greatest game in the world. If you're not having fun playing the game, then that's your own issue. But then, like, from the coach's perspective, it's like, let them have a little bit of fun. Like, they are kids. They're little kids. And even though you're coaching and you're Joe serious about it and you want to win, because so you can get, you know, your banner hung up on the wall, that's cool. Yeah. But they're just kids.
And I go back to the example I've given this example in the past about teachers, where a lot of times I notice with some of the teachers that I see when they're in here, they get on a little power trip about stupid things that don't matter. So just as an example, in the gym, we have the BOSU balls and the kids like to jump on them. And it's like, okay, I'd rather you not jump on it, because if you break it or whatever, that's annoying. But obviously you're going to want to jump on it. You're 12 or 11 and that's fun. So it's like, you give and take. So instead of me saying, hey, get off the BOSU balls, you guys shouldn't be doing that, like, what's the matter with you? Like, quit being stupid. Instead, it's like, I can let it go for a minute and then be like, guys, you might break the ball. I know you already know that. So maybe just pick a different thing to jump on. Right. And the kids know. So like, to the example of you know, it's the kids swimming at the hotel, whatever. It's like, let them realize on their own that to limit. And one of the things I always say with the groups I have is, especially when they're young, is fun is good, crazy is not good, you know? And they know where the line is between where we're having fun and now we're getting crazy, where things are getting out of hand. And so if you're at the hotel and they want to play mini sticks, or if they want to go in the pool, whatever, it's like, do you think being in the pool for 5 hours when you play later is good? It's like, you don't have to say, no, there's no swimming, you're not going in the pool ever. Like, it's okay, guys. Like, so that's kind of where the fun police comment goes.
Having a tournament, having player meetings all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Making sure that you get a 10-minute player meeting to let them know how they're doing. It's like, hey, I'm 11 or 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Can I just hang out with my buds?
That's it.
This is cool. I've never been in a hotel like this.
Exactly.
Anyways, let's move on.
Okay, so let's get, that's kind of the expectation you just laid out. And now we're going to get into a little bit of the reality of what happens now, because obviously optimal is one thing, but reality is another. So I'm just going to run through like some of the common problems that most people will run into at some point. And I don't really have a question, so I think I'm just going to let you freewheel on the topic and just see what you say about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first one is having a parent coach and the claims of favoritism among the players on the team. So that would be the first issue. I don't really have a question. You can kind of just, let's talk about it and see what happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, expectations, right? Expectations is that you have a good coach, preferably a non-parent coach. Preferably, that's always the question. And being fair, or what's the other word? Not fair, but not firm either. But no, I've used this before. It's fair is being, what's my sentence?
I don't know, I'm trying to help. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Okay. Well, it's just because people have a different idea what fair is.
Like equal versus fair?
Fair versus equal. That's exactly what. Yeah. Yeah. So in an ideal world, see, but you got to be very careful here, right? Everyone has a different interpretation of which fair is and what equal is.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a different interpretation of what a good coach is and stuff. So in an ideal world, yes, you would like someone that is a non-parent coach. Okay, great. You would like to have fair, equal, however you want to say it. Whatever you determine that, there's no favoritism. Is that the word that we use? Yeah.
Yeah. No favoritism.
Okay. That's in a perfect world, yes. In reality, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to, if you get everything perfect, that's great. So there's, especially at younger ages, you're going to get a lot of parents coaching because that's just the way
that's
it goes.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens. So number one, thank you for coaching.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for coaching because I don't want to do it. Right. Number two, that coach may have some favoritism towards his kid. Probably. Although I had a consult the other day with a guy and he goes, I just feel like I'm harder on my kid. And I said, yeah, when I did it with my kid, it was the same thing. I used to pull him aside and say, listen, when I give you shit, it's for everybody. But if I don't use you for an example, then everybody thinks that you're getting away with something or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, my point to that is the thank you for coaching if it's your kid. Now, there are some people that coach strictly because they want to take care of their kids. And I've seen this. I know someone who's actually kind of close that is can't let his kid go. I've seen this a lot. Cannot let anybody else touch their kid on the ice, in the gym. You know, they always have to have their hands on them and make sure that it's not, nothing's ever good enough unless it's my kid. I'm doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of it is, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. So you kind of have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Right. And the favoritism part.
I want to talk about this for.
Okay.
Okay.
See, I'm not negative about it though, right?
Okay.
I feel you have a negative tone about it.
No. I think people have a negative tone about it. And I'm not saying that they don't have a point. Like, right. Favoritism is annoying. But even as somebody who's not a parent coach, I like certain kids more than others. And that's just the reality of being a coach.
Yeah.
There's certain kids I like more than other kids. There's certain kids
Why?
Because some kids do things better than other kids.
And why?
There's a million things,
yeah,
right?
And you like some kids because they do everything that you would expect.
Exactly.
They deserve a little bit more.
So this is my point about the favoritism thing, right? It's like, okay, favoritism when it's just like blatant for no reason is annoying. I got that. But the reality is that, and everyone, I don't care what parent you are, you do this too with other kids because this is just how humans are. There's certain kids that you like and there's certain kids that you just don't like. And that is just, and they might be a good kid and they just rub you the wrong way and you don't like them. That's just how it goes. So as the parents, from what you should be expecting, whether it's a parent coach or not, is like favoritism is part of the deal. When you're the one that's on the shit end of it, it's like, that sucks. I get that. But you know that these are the kinds of things that happen. I've had coaches where I was their favorite. I've had coaches where I thought we were going to get in a fist fight because some of them just didn't like me. They don't like my personality. I got a big mouth. I talk loud. I'm very passionate. I'm opinionated. And maybe somebody doesn't like that. Whereas other coaches would be like, man, this kid, he's got his shit together. I like how he talks. So it's a preference thing, you know? So when it comes to the favoritism stuff, it's unreasonable for you as the parent to not expect that to a certain degree, right? And so whether, and it's even like if there's a parent coach, their kid's on the team, and their kid has a couple best buddies on the team. Like, should you be mad that he prefers those kids that are close with his kid? It's like, you do the same thing. You know, it's like you want them to be impartial and stuff. And I'm not excusing situations where coaches are doing that. I'm not giving them the excuse, but it's like, as the parents, like, did you not expect that to be part of it? You know, it's like, that's just built into the fabric. If there's certain kids that hang out with their kid, no matter what they do, they're not going to be able to separate that, you know?
Some can, but not like, yeah, that's totally, I get it.
So just to be clear,
yeah.
My point is not saying that favoritism is fine and just deal with it and shut your mouth. My point is just expect some of that to be there because that's just how humans are, you know? So instead of like freaking out and getting into like the ultra negative coach is an idiot conversation, it's just like, this is just humans doing this, man. And it's just part of what happens. And that's where like having conversations with your coach and stuff can start to help you deal with some of that, as if it is affecting you and it's that much of a problem, you know? Is that fair, what I'm saying?
No, dude, I that's what I'm saying. I'm not negative about it, but like, because here's my actual thoughts. Like, I'm talking for me and my kid or me, right? It's like, sometimes, son, you ain't gonna be in someone's good books, or someone's got it out for you and you have to figure out how to deal with it. Like, it's not always bad. That's what I'm saying. It's not negative all the time. You learn, man. You learn. That's the way you have to go through it, is you got to learn. And sometimes it's not fair, I don't think, that an 8-year-old might have to learn a lesson that, you know, whatever the treatment is. But sometimes it's better learn it early than later, because it's going to happen at some point. Not everybody's going to like you. There is bullshit in the world, right? And there's one right there. Your coach is there only for his kid, or his little buddies, and he doesn't give two rips about you, but it's a good lesson to learn. Not a great, not one that I want kids to learn at eight, but it's there 100%. And you know what? Like the other, but, and then the other side is like, expect that shit to happen. And then the resolution of that is you could coach yourself. Right. And I'm not saying that flippantly. Like, if you really are concerned, coach yourself or help find or help out in some way with the team. So, whatever.
Yeah. And it's harder than it seems. That's the other part too, on the coach's side. And again, like, this is not in any way excusing bad behavior as a coach, but from just on the parent side, so you don't drive yourself nuts. Yeah. It's like,
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen, man.
Or it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it doesn't.
And it doesn't. Yeah. That's great. But you can expect. Yeah. Expect that to happen. I mean, that's the way life works, man.
Yeah. So the next one I was going to talk about is coaches that are maybe bad communicators. So, and this can mean a lot of different things. Bad communicators in terms, they don't talk to you. That maybe you feel like you're invisible as a player. They don't communicate with parents. You don't understand the moves they're making or what they're doing because they never say anything about it. So let's talk about that a little bit here.
Yeah. So bad communicators. So I just want to go back. What are expectations versus reality? Expectations is, yes, in a perfect world, we would like our coach to be able to spell out everything, right? And follow that plan and everybody's happy. The only problem with that, I wouldn't say a problem with that. It's at least you know where you stand if he communicates really well. So that would be great. And it would be great if every time you had an issue, you can go to the coach. I would say kid first. So like, let me go there first. So when it comes time to communicate, and I don't care how young you are, I think that the first one or two times that you need to address a coach, I think you should either, well, you should have your kid advocate for himself, or go with your child so he can advocate for himself and let him at least confront a coach. Cause that's a good skill. So that's number one. You might have a coach that just doesn't communicate, as we said. So now what? You know, like in a perfect world, you could sit there and say, "Coach, I'm just curious why, you know, non-confrontational, but I feel like I could get more ice, or I feel like whatever the issue is." And that, in an ideal world, that'd be great that he says, "Oh no, this is how it works," and explain things, and you feel good after. But there's some coaches that just don't have that, as you said. So how do you deal with that? Well, sometimes you have to deal with that. And that's my answer to that. Like, is sometimes a coach doesn't want to talk, doesn't feel like he needs to talk. He might think that he's a Mr. Big Guy and you just do it my way. There might be an attitude, or maybe he just doesn't know how to communicate very well. So, you know, what are you going to do? So that's where moms and dads have to, you know, kind of coach their kids through it, not coach them in hockey, but, teach them life, right? Teach them life. So, The other thing with communicating is careful what you wish for sometimes, right? Because sometimes coaches do say things, or they have communicated. And I'll give you an example, right? Like, and you're very familiar with this. I can't tell you how many times a dad will come to me or you and say, "This is happening. This is happening, and the coach this," and there's a big pile of excuses out there, right? And we actually give them, yeah, I can see that, or I could see why that would be a problem, because I've had time with your son, and this is how he actually is, right? So sometimes a kid doesn't communicate what the coach has already said. So I've had kids like just behavior problems, not like, didn't think they were going to be serial killers or anything, but just they were always in line, always pissing around, always maybe not. I'm communicating, they're not giving it back, and now you're pissing me off, or you're disrupting the group, and it's like constant. It's like, so when the coach has enough of that, and they might communicate that you're not getting ice and stuff like that, and you've communicated to the kid, "No, stop, do this, and they don't listen. Then dad comes and says, "Well, you know, my son wouldn't do that," or whatever. It's like, yeah, but he has. So maybe your son needs to communicate back to the coach, or maybe communicate what his faults are to you too. Because so a lot of the times the parents don't deny it, or not deny it. Parents don't want to admit that their kids may be not perfect. And then there's times where parents go, "Oh, really? That's how my kid's been acting. All right." So like that communication could be broken, right? So, yeah, you should try to communicate with your coach, but there's nothing there that says they have to. And that's just reality. I mean, in a perfect world, it would be great. Reality, some guys just can't do it or won't do it or lie to you or whatever. So, again, goes back to reality is I don't think – reality is you, expectations is you want the greatest coach in the world to communicate. The reality is you might get that and then you might not. Both are good. It depends how you look at it.
Yeah, I think the key point on that is the – you're getting a lot of times as the parent, you're getting the communication through the kid.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to bring up because
it's huge, man.
You don't directly get to interact with the coach. So when you think they're not a good communicator, it's possible they're not, but it's also possible that you just don't know because you're not the one that's on the bench or at practice or whatever. So it's important that you're trying to think of all of these factors on the parent side of it, right?
Yeah.
What is actually the situation?
Yeah. But I think like there's a lot of issues that can go to communication. But like if the coach is teaching or trying to teach something or doesn't do a very good job at it, let's say, and it's like a practice drill or a system on the ice. I mean, if the players don't get it or you just don't understand how he's explaining it, it's like it's okay for the kid to go up and say, coach, like, I know you're trying to explain things, but the way you're saying it to me, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's actually good. His job to kind of do it now, and if he doesn't, then you kind of got to figure it out, right?
Well, and that's a good point too, is like, because sometimes you just have a bad communicator as a coach. They can't explain things well, and I think you can only, we say this all the time too, you can only control your part. So as the player, it's on you, like, ask questions as much as you can, and if they give you a shitty answer, it's like, okay, now you got to figure out what that means. You have to try to decode it now, which sucks, but that you're going to have coaches like that. Most of my coaches were like that when I was a kid. I didn't learn any neutral zone regroups till I was like 15. It's like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, you could, but it's even as simple as for us being around hockey or guys that have been around hockey for a long time, there's coaching cues or there's little terms that are used that are, oh yeah, okay. Right. Like, oh, it's going to be a touch pass, like all these little cues. Right. And if that coach has never been around it enough, he doesn't know those cues. It's not, it come across like, what do you talk about? You can simplify that, right? But coaches got to learn too. So anyways, communicating, interesting. You might not get it a lot because that's, we had this talk before, like, don't be afraid to talk to your coach and they should be able to communicate and they should, but some guys don't. And at the higher levels, especially when guys are getting paid and stuff, it's, you got to figure it out. And hopefully you can get it through assistant coaches or whatever. But
the last thing I'll throw on that too, though, is a lot of, I think the default is for coaches, because you wouldn't coach most of the time. I'll say this as a blanket statement. Most of the time, people that want to coach like trying to teach. Otherwise, they wouldn't want to coach. So for the most part.
Yeah, I would say for the most, they're doing it for.
Yeah, they're doing it because
they want to be a good coach.
They don't mind being in that role. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. So one thing just to be aware of is a lot of times you initiating dialogue will be helpful because coaches want, they like the feeling of helping people. Most people like that. And if you go to the coach and you are giving them their power trip by saying, hey, can you help me, please? A lot of coaches will try to help. And maybe they tell you the wrong thing. Maybe they don't know a lot about hockey, but they just like trying to be the guy to communicate. A lot of times that helps the relationship where they, maybe you're more in the good books now, or they talk to you a little bit more because you talked to them the first time. So that's another thing to keep in mind too. Like, you won't get a lot of coaches that just want to shut their pie hole and not say anything until you get to higher levels. Once you get to higher levels than in junior or whatever, where they don't necessarily care about you in particular, then well, that can happen too.
Yeah, and another thing on that is, you know, some people, and I guess I would be in the camp of, can you give me more words? I like having more words to show that. And when I teach kids, I like to throw words and build a scenario so that they can paint a picture, because I feel when I talk to someone or speak to someone, I mean, and if I'm giving them feedback, I would like to kind of get all their senses involved, so I get it. But you got a coach that's, you know, sending you home for the summer, get leaner, stronger, faster. That's the message.
Yeah, it's pretty general.
Is that bad? Yeah, no, is it bad?
Not necessarily.
No, it's get leaner, stronger, and faster. Yeah. Or work your this, work your that. Yeah,
I don't care how. Just do it.
Right, yeah. Okay, so he has communicated. Is it the best form? For some people, it is the best form. Mm-hmm. Because now you have to extrapolate.
Wow.
My God.
What a terminology we got here.
Extrapolate what that actually means. And it's not hard to figure out. It's just some people, you ask them, like for me, if you ask me what time it is, I'm going to tell you how the watch was made.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas other people will do the opposite.
I'm right? the same too. I'm a rambler.
Yeah, but and it's good, but sometimes it's not good, right? So you can say too much and they forget half the thing. So leaner, stronger, faster, what does that mean? Okay, you're a little chubby. That's okay. So I need to get better conditioned, right? Need to get faster. What does that mean? You're a little slow, right? So you need to pick up some speed, work on your power and your quickness, right? You figure out how that is because I'm not a freaking strength coach, right? Or you find a power skating coach to do that. And stronger, right? So you got those three things. Go figure it out now. That's coaching. It is. Or whereas, see, I'm going on again, right? But where I'm going to say, you know, so get leaner. So, you know, what you want to do, Eric, is, you know, really pay attention to your nutrition this summer. Probably get a good base on your cardio, right? To set a base for in a good gas tank so you can last a little bit longer. Get a good base there and then start working a condition and write out the whole program and before he goes home. But then and do the same for faster and stronger. It's like, okay, now there's a lot to remember. So which one's right? I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
You can always ask questions after.
What about coaches that are a little bit power tripping?
Yeah, what about them? No, what
if you get the coach that they enjoy flexing their coaching muscles. So it's like, you know, you get just as an extreme example, the coach that's going to try to bury this kid, or the coach that he seems like he's extra hard on my kid for no reason, or I tried to talk to him and he has the I'm the coach, you're the parent, you shut up, I know what we're doing, and it's the, just let's call it, instead of maybe power tripping, we'll just call it a little bit of the ego coach.
Yeah. A lot of coaches have egos. I mean, if you talk to a lot of people about Mike Babcock, they would say that he's a ego-driven or egocentric, whatever, but that's what people's opinions are. But the bottom line is if you've played for Mike Babcock, you still have to perform. He gives you pretty clear instructions, and maybe he wants to have all the... Like, I'm not cutting up Mike Babcock. I'm just saying maybe the coach wants to get all the glory, and that's his thing, whatever. The bottom line is, I go back to what I always said, is like you have to... not have to, but I think it's important that you experience everything. So having a nice coach, like here's the thing, if you move on in hockey, having a nice coach that's a good communicator that and does all the good things would be, I guess, a pretty good life. If you had that from 4 years old to 38 years old when you retire from the NHL, it'd be great. The reality is that you're going to get everything in between. So it's good. As much as it's bad, it's good to experience someone that it's all about them and it's their way or the highway, because you're probably going to play for someone like that at some point. And it goes back to what I've always said is like not listening to people's tones or their egos or the emotions. It's listening to the message. And to me, I think sometimes that's a good lesson to learn. And sometimes earlier is better than later. Because you realize that, because like life is life, man. People are, I don't want to use this as a blanket statement, but in general, people care about themselves first and everybody else after, in general. So to have a coach that cares about his winning record and his name's on the thing, on the team, and it's about what he did and how great his team was because of him, you get that all the time. And I've got friends that are exactly like that. It's like, please shut up. But the bottom line is he runs the team, and sometimes it is what it is. So as a parent, it could get frustrating, but it's like, you know, help your kid deal with it, right? Like, just do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, on the deal with it side, I go to something that Jocko always says, is that you got to play the game a little bit. So if I generalize this question to how do you deal with someone who's hard to deal with? So it doesn't have to be a coach. It could be any person. It could be somebody at work, whatever. Find out what makes that person tick a little bit. Because if they feel like you're on their team, then their ego problem might end up or actually helping you or might work to your benefit. So that's hard for young players to understand. But as the parent, it's like, figure out, what does this coach want? Like, what is good for this coach? You know, if they're going to be a selfish prick and all they care about is them and what they're going to do as the coach, play the game, man. They're like, okay, this coach says you have to do this, this, and this. So what should you do? Instead of fighting, it's like you're fighting a losing battle because they get to call the shots. They're the coach, you know? So, and that doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your morals to do whatever the coach says. There's obviously a line to be drawn somewhere. But if it's a little bit of ego that you have to deal with, just play to the ego, you know? And that's just like relationship building 101. It's like you go in there like this, getting in a battle with your coach. It's like, that's not good for anyone. Why would you do that? It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for your kid. The coach is just going to dislike you more if they already don't like you. So instead of doing that, when we say help your kid deal with it, this is how you can help your kid deal with it. What does this coach want? And know specifically what it is that makes them happy as the coach. And then you can do those things. And like you're saying, is that what you would want optimally? No. But you're figuring out how to deal with things. Because guess what? You go to a higher level and your coach says, hey, you better finish your hits, and you don't. Guess what? You're not playing. So you can start to figure out how to do things that will actually help your game and help that relationship once again, so that you can still do well in a non-optimal environment. Because that's what it's about, right? Like, most of the situations you're going to be in with whatever coach you have or anything, they're going to be not optimal. Like, there's always something that's going to be better. So find that thing that is a problem and figure out how to turn that into something that'll work to your advantage. So if you're a kid that doesn't like to do what the coach asks, that's on you now. Now that's something that you can fix, yep. You know? So that's kind of what I was saying.
Well, I didn't realize the question was totally that. So yeah, like, so speaking on that is also, there's a flip side to everything. As I said before to you, as I was leaving the office one day, okay? There's a flip side to everything. So maybe and I've seen this a lot, especially at the OHL level, where guys came into the league where they were goal scorers, okay? And then they're sitting at, let's just throw a number, 15 to 25 goals, okay? And they're supposed to be high-end players. And they believe that they are true goal scorers in their head. And the coach keeps saying, you need to play D. You got to work on the D side of the puck. And they look at the coach like, I'm a goal scorer. But you actually aren't. So maybe the professional coach at the OHL college level knows something, that maybe you want to do that. Maybe you do want to play pay extra attention to the D side of the puck, because it just might be good for you as well, right? So anyways, that's the flip side is, like, even though you might resist the instruction of the egocentric coach that has to do it his way, as you said, his way will give you more ice time. And the flip side is, his way may be a way that you get better, become a better player, or you add another bucket to your skill.
Yeah.
To your skills.
Gotcha. What about unbalanced coaching? So that would be a coach that's like too much of one style. So that could be the guy that's the hard ass, or he's really focused on systems but doesn't really teach you skills, or vice versa. He's all about skill stuff but doesn't really teach you about the game. What do we do with those kind of coaches?
Well, using those examples, first of all, a hard ass is, I think every kid needs a hard ass once in a while, right? It's very good for you. It's you know, kind of take the fun away a lot of the times, which I'm not a proponent of, but having a hard ass that lets you get away with almost zero is actually, once in a while, it's pretty good for you. A little military for you, right? That's not going to hurt you, and it'll teach you some discipline. But if you got someone what were the two? Skill versus, a systems guy. Let's use that. He's all systems, no skill. I want you dumping the puck in. I want you hitting. I want you to get the puck to, you know, high to low, low to high, whatever it is. That's what we're going to do. It's like, okay, that's fine, because you can still control your skill work. You can still control your practice times and what you do in the off, you know, outside of his system time, to still work on your game, and vice versa. You can, if you got a guy that just says, hey, they throw a puck on the ice, boys, and you just go have fun, and you know, we'll figure it out because we're skilled. Well, you could flip that script too, and you can study hockey a little bit more, and it doesn't stop you from learning the game. So I think a lot of the times when people look at one style, that's all we're allowed to do, it's like, it's fine, but I still think that you can evolve as a player.
Mm-hmm. My thing is, I guess if I generalize the question again, it's like, what if the coach is missing something? And if there's something that they're not teaching you that you need addressed, like, what a world we live in for finding information.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, instead of like complaining about your coach is missing something and not teaching, it's like, yeah, that's annoying, but like, you could find all endless information on everything, no matter where you look.
Yeah. Well, but you got to also go back to the original question, is expectations versus reality. The expectations in youth hockey are, you would like someone to be, you know, as balanced as possible. Reality is, you might have a guy that's a super motivator that comes in with all kinds of energy to have a lot of fun, but knows zero about hockey. And then you could have someone that knows everything about hockey, can't communicate it, or he knows everything about hockey, but makes it all about himself. He knows everything about hockey, but the kids hate him or whatever. So it's, the reality is, that's exactly what's going to happen. From a youth hockey standpoint, I wouldn't expectations of having a perfect coach is like very, very not unreasonable. When you get to pro levels, I mean, guys, I was talking to one of my NHL guys, and I asked after his first year, second year in the NHL, I go, how do you like this guy? He goes, he's like a freaking novice coach. He said he's shit. He can't teach the game. He doesn't know shit. I'm like, come on. He goes, I'm telling you, he couldn't, you could take that job right now. You do a better job than him. I'm like, come on. I said, that's the NHL. So you're never going to get the perfect thing. Yeah. You just think you do.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Right? I think kind of maybe lined up with this one, I'm going to jump out of order here, is if you're kind of have misaligned views with your coach. So if your coach expects you to do X, but dad says, well, you should be doing this though. So like your philosophy and your coach's philosophy don't line up, you know, or maybe to dumb it down even more is if your coach is all about fun, no matter what, or I remember you had this example where when Charlie was playing AAA, the one coach was like, just rolled lines no matter what. And you're sitting there like, well, not no matter what. But this coach, right, but this coach thinks no matter what. So now from the parent perspective, it's like, how are we figure, or maybe talk about maybe that dynamic. Maybe tell that, you could tell that story maybe, and then talk about kind of how you resolve that or how you dealt with that.
I didn't really deal with it. Like, so he was playing at a level where it was AAA, his first year AAA. And the coach was that no matter what, it was next guy up. There was no power play. There was no penalty kill. There was no, you're working harder than me, I deserve to get the last couple minutes. Like, there was none of it, no matter what. So yes, as a dad, like, I know I might even sound contradictory here, but as a parent, you do get somewhat invested. So I would sit there to nobody else. I didn't talk to anybody about this, but I'm like, my wife and I'm like, I won't. He's giving up. Whoever's up is up. Doesn't matter if I got three penalties in a row and this guy's missed two shifts because my penalty. If I'm up, I'm up. So that's where I came up with that term, fair and equal. Like, what's fair and what's equal? And fair at that point would be that guy just took three stupid penalties, let's say, and the other guys have missed shifts. It's not your turn, right? So that's the issue I had with it. Now, did I say anything to him? No. He asked me at the end of the year to do stuff, and I said, dude, I don't believe anything that, but he was asking me, not, I didn't go complain. I said, I don't believe in that philosophy whatsoever, because you got kids that are busting their ass, and it's like, no matter what they do, they can't get an extra shift, and you got a guy loafing, or it seems like his give a shit meter is like at one at best, and it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. So I just, it didn't resolve it. So I told my kid, I said, like, this is how I resolved it, if you want to call it resolving. I told my kid, my wife, I was like, this is how life is sometimes, and you just have to deal with it. And it's, now you know what it's like. You know, it's okay to get angry that you're working your butt off and you're not getting rewarded for it, but it is what it is, mm-hmm. Right?
So okay, so then that's like a very clear contrast in philosophy. And like, I think objectively, if I can use this, it shouldn't be roll the lines no matter what when you're at that level.
And if he was the coach again next year, we wouldn't really have had a choice, yeah. But I wouldn't have liked it. So my other decision would have been, okay, do you want to coach the team, Andy? Because I would have got it like that. And I didn't want to coach my kids. So that's the, that would have been the trade-off, right?
So let's, I want to take like a more difficult example than just as a for parents. So let's take like the power play. Like I'm the coach and this is how I think the power play should be run. Like this is how the breakout, these are the guys that should be on it. This is the breakout that we should use. And this is the setup we should have in zone. And your dad, and you're like, well, that's no good because of reason X, Y, Z. So now it's not as, it's like, you think this, he thinks this, who's right. And
okay, we've been there.
Right. So I'm, my thought on it is just like, it doesn't make the coach an idiot that his philosophy about the power play is different than yours. But I know that parents can have a spin out about that, where it's like, you know, the conversations that happen about that, where it's like, well, man, they got one goal in the last 15 tries and it's clearly not working and they need to change it, whatever. So maybe go take yeah. a whack at that.
Well,
one.
So as from a parent's yeah. perspective, yeah, expectations are, well, he does, so here's the thing, just his expectation is not what you, it doesn't match up with what you think are the best players, which is probably your kid. Right. So like particularly this one year, I believe it was Major Pee Wee and the coach did have power plays and stuff. And it was certainly not what I would have picked. But they had a thing that this one kid, I'll tell you who it is after, who this kid, they believed that this kid was going to be a stud hockey player. It was before hitting. He was bigger. And they thought he was a grindy guy and he could put the puck in the net. And like, if when they actually told me that, I'm like, oh, okay. But they had power plays who they thought that was their best option. Like, I'm not the coach. I have nothing to say about this. Like, and I don't know how to say it any clearer. Like, it is what it is. Like, I can't go and say, hey, coach, why isn't my son, which I think he was on the power play on one of the units. I'm pretty sure he was. But who am I to go up to him and say, like, you got the power play wrong. My son should be there or this kid should be here. It's like none of my business. Because, like, as I said about the previous coach, if I want to change and do it the way I would like it to be done, then I need to go apply for the job, period. And again, this is like, I know maybe I sound like it's not the message people want to hear or you want to hear or whatever. But again, it was good for my kid because even though you were one of the, I mean, maybe he wasn't the best player at that age, but he was one of them. The coach is not recognizing that. So obviously you're not standing out as much as we would like you to think or like to think you are. So you need to be better. And this is life, son. You, that guy thinks this guy might be better than you. So you're going to have to prove it some other way. Right? So I don't have necessarily a problem with that because he had to learn, and here's the thing, right? I do believe, I know this is going to sound arrogant, but this is the truth. I have encountered coaches that have coached my kid, and my wife was very clear on, she reads people well. She goes, oh, Andy, it's you're here. You're one of his worst, you're his biggest problem sometimes because it's almost like, okay, you got your dad, but I got you. And it was that sometimes. So, but it's not for me to change it, but it was good for him to realize that, like, you're a great kid and you're a good hockey player, but guess what? Sometimes it ain't going to be your way. And, I know people don't like to hear that sometimes, but you know what? It's actually good lessons because then the following year, it was kind of a little bit like that. And I just making it sound like my kid was a real problem here, right? Which, you know, he's not. But the next year, it was the same thing. It was like, oh, we're going to put this kid down a bit. He, you know, he's got his dad and whatever. And we talked to him and I said, you know, my wife and I talked to him because he was actually getting frustrated. And I said, listen, don't worry about it. You have to change your attitude. Not because it was bad, but you're going to have to not worry so much about everything else. You have to put on your head. You got to change your attitude to, you know what? Screw everybody. I'm going to be a hockey player here. I said it in different words, but I am going to go out there every game, every shift. And I'm going to just dominate the way I know I can. And it was like a switch flipped. So we helped them get through adversity because it's coming. Like if you want to play the game to a certain level or at any level, they're going to be the adversity. I don't want to just throw that word out flippantly, but it comes over and over and over again. I really do believe that when things don't go your way, especially younger, it's a really good chance for parents to teach, okay, how do we get through this? Like, solve a problem. It's good for life because you can say, okay, life is not fair. Like, kids learn that. And it could maybe put a chip on their shoulder and all these different things. I think it's actually kind of good. You know what I mean?
Well, you answer that exactly how I wanted you to, if I could answer myself.
Okay.
And the reason I wanted to use that example where it's not as clear cut, like this coach is clearly wrong, because that's easy, right? It's easy. If the coach is clearly wrong, then you can just sit there on your high horse and say, well, you're clearly wrong and whatever. But when it's not, it's a little bit of it's a gray area where it's like, he thinks this, you think this, who's right? I like how your answer is like, I'm not the coach. He's the coach.
But even there are times where I go, well, dude, like my kid is playing today. Like, dude, why, you know, I don't say it out loud to anybody. But it's like, I think that sometimes. But then, you know, when other people would say something, I'm like, here's the deal, right? My kid or your kid has to figure out how to be a hockey player. Your coach might not actually like you, but you have to do something to make him play you, right? But the bottom line is, like, especially at the level he's at now, it's like, if I feel like the coach is making a whole bunch of mistakes, it's not for me to worry about. Truly, truly. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The bottom line is, if he's making a whole bunch of mistakes at that level, he won't have a job. It's not for me to worry about. Right? So I think if a guy is coaching and trying to keep a job and move up to the National Hockey League or whatever, be the best OHL coach or whatever, I think the moves he makes, decision he makes, are because he thinks it's the best thing for his team and for his career. And if your kid is not included in that decision, then it might say something more about your kid than it does about the coach. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like your kid's expendable to a degree.
100%. Right?
So, and I think that's what my point is of bringing that up, because it's easy to, I remember the parent conversations. Yeah. It's like, and it was about things as what's the term?
Binary?
No, what's like if I think one thing and you think another thing, but it's not clear who's right.
Oh, combative?
No.
You know,
like
it's a dichotomy.
Yeah, like it could go either way. Yeah. Like it's not clear what the right answer is. Anyways,
50-50.
Yeah, 50-50.
I don't know. I'm not in your head.
Where it's something that's not that. It's not clear who the right person is. Those situations happen all the time because it's just a coaching decision that they're making in the game or during the play or with their systems or whatever. So when you're in that situation as a parent, which you're going to be, it doesn't, like, it's not a bad coach now because you guys don't think the same thing about something.
Well, you know? The other thing is you don't know, I've said this before, you don't know what the coach is asking either. So you might think that, why didn't he shoot the puck there? He had an open net. And it might be a very, very clear statement that, let's say it's a power play, or maybe it's a dump in or whatever it is. That's how we're going to execute our forecheck. So mom and dad could be all pissy that, you know, the guy needs to take it to the net. But if the coach is saying, that's not what I want you to do, but you do it your way, guess who doesn't get to play? So there's the other side of the coin. And that's where a lot of people don't understand is that when you think you know the game, and I'm talking higher levels now, but I have even the lower levels, you think you know the game. Like most parents don't have a clue what a system is.
Not a clue.
They could watch a game and you could see a 1-3-1 and they wouldn't know there's a 1-3-1.
I say this all the time, man, when we're watching games, is like, even with my parents, like I played my whole life and my parents didn't, my dad played recreational hockey, never played for a structured team ever. So they, in all the years that they watch, it's like, they don't know what they're watching. It's like, we could run a face-off play and they didn't even know what happened. Right. So why I'm saying that is I remember my dad, like he didn't understand defensive zone systems. He got the concept if I explained it to him, cause he's not an idiot, but like, if I was in a certain spot and he'd be like, dude, just go get the puck. Like, they won't get mad at you if you just get the puck. And I'm like, I can't just go get the puck. That's not where I'm supposed to be. I have to be here. Because if I try to go get the puck and then I don't get it, then what happens? Right? And these are things that as parents, you don't even see what is going on. And maybe it's not that complex when you're at younger levels. But the coach is seeing different things from behind the bench, man. He interacts with the group all the time. And if he has any sort of brain sense, he'll know the strengths and the weaknesses of the team. And he tries to do what he can do to put, obviously, the most charitable case. He's trying to do the best he can to get a team that wins, like you said. Because nobody wants a team to be no good, you know? So that's just another thing to keep in mind why I wanted to use those examples, because it doesn't make the coach an idiot if you guys don't think the same thing, because maybe you don't understand, or maybe you do and they just think something different, and it doesn't, yeah, it's not up to you. You're not the coach, you know?
Dude, I've seen why, you know, like there's a lot of things I would say, I not what I would do, but I don't coach. I have no say in this, zero. And I don't tell my kid what I think because that doesn't help him either. And that's another very important thing is please don't dump on your kid. He's not a garbage can with a hairy lid, right? He doesn't need to hear your negative thoughts, and they don't. They just don't want to hear it.
So let's go to politics. That's a good one. Not loaded at all. Politics, I'm going to tie into that a little bit of like paid coaches, maybe. I'll say what I think just to give you a little more context, and then you can run with it. We've touched the topic quite a bit, and it's always a hot button issue, that's for sure. I find people are very non-specific with what they call politics in hockey, and that's annoying to me because it just turns into just like a ghost that we can't pin down what it is. So whenever people blanket term things like politics, the reason that I find it to be a problem is because I think it's kind of a scapegoat for not dealing with things that you can deal with. As an example, I remember one person was saying something about how some of the kids that didn't have to try out because they were like already on the team. And he was like, this is like all this politics bullshit. Like these kids didn't even have to try out. And they just get to be on the team already. And it's like, is that politics? It's like, if the kids are the best players and they've been on the team for 5 years, you know they're making the team. Does it not make sense maybe to watch the other kids more that you need to judge? And maybe it doesn't, maybe it does. But the point of what I'm saying is like, is that politics? Like, is that really be politics? Like, I don't think that that's what that is. So
I'll tell you, the opposite of that is, okay, because I'll be an asshole here. How about, okay, there's a rule that you can't cut a kid until they have two tryouts in this area. Yeah. That they need two tryouts. Why? So if I never had to try out for a team, is it politics? My parents had zero money. I was a nice kid. I tried out when I could, but I had baseball. So it was because I had baseball and I was the best player around that I don't get to make the team if I didn't try out. Hey, coach, you think he was cutting me? Not a chance. Why would he? Because I didn't. That's not politics. That's like smart. But to me, politics, like, so let's just flip that script. So everyone gets two tryouts. You can't count them for two tryouts. What if you're lousy? Why do I need to look at you? And that's what happens. So yeah, there's not a chance that kid, and I am being an asshole, but there's not a chance that kid can make the team. And you know it. Mom and dads know it. Everyone knows it. It's like, I got to watch him twice. That's politics to me. That's making everybody happy. Like, yeah. So anyways, I just went on that.
No. So I'm just drawing attention to why when you talk about politics and youth sports, if you're not going to be incredibly specific about what you mean by that, it's, I don't even want to talk about it because it's not clear to me what is and isn't politics, you know, like that as one example, if someone says that happened, this is politics, it's bullshit. It's like, I don't think that's politics. At all, actually. So
but there are things that there is a little bit,
right? So
no problem.
But this is what I'm saying is people will throw the blanket of politics bullshit like it's this huge problem. And again, it's not saying it's not a problem. It can be a problem.
It's the biggest problem.
I know, but and that's what I mean. It's like you can just blame that for everything now without being specific about what the problem is. You know, so it would be like the paid coach thing. It's like if a coach gets paid, who's the guy paying? Because that guy's paying. This is bullshit. Now, any interaction the coach has with this guy that's paying him, that makes everything illegitimate now because this guy's paying the coach. It's like, it depends. It's not that clear if this is politics or if it's not. So I think people's default to complaining about politics is just, especially with respect to coaching decisions, it just bothers me because they're very, I find them seldom are they specific about the problem. And so my reason I wanted to bring this up as a topic is because people blame that for whatever's going on without actually having a clear sense of what that means. And I don't like problems that you don't define because then we don't know how to solve the problem. So from the parenting perspective, I think there's a lot of that that happens with minor hockey teams. It's like they think, oh, this guy, like favoritism for this kid, politics. He was getting paid by this guy, politics. The tryouts evaluation process was bullshit, politics. And now it's like, okay, so everything is politics all the time.
I don't know anybody, politics.
Yeah, right? It's all about who you know, politics. It's like...
The funny thing about this is, you know, this will be a debate because people...
Yeah, they like this one.
We'll probably get 3,000 freaking comments on it. But it is what it is, man. Like, the thing that I know, and I'll just say it as a coach, is you can call it whatever it is, but there's... The best players get to play, and you can say that's politics. I don't know what, maybe it is. The best players get to play. Who defines the best players is another thing, right? The coach could be wrong, or the organizations could be wrong. But if you stand out, typically there's not as much politics, and that's just the bottom line. So people can say, yeah, but I didn't get a chance. It's like, but. This is the leg I'm going to stand on. I'm going to probably just leave it at that. A lot of these things that become very controversial, this is where, because I don't like to walk around thinking I know everything about everything, because I don't. But there's the one thing you can't argue with me about is hockey, for the most part, right? But that's why I tell that to my wife. She talks hockey. I go, this is one thing you can't talk to me about. You can know everything more than me besides that, but this is the one thing I know, because I've been there, done that, and at every level and whatever. The one thing that makes me just go, yeah, okay, I'm glad, is that I'm connected to a lot of people in the National Hockey League, played with a lot of people in the National Hockey League, junior, blah, 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 blah. They all agree with me. Like, I don't get the politics bullshit from my two scouts in the NHL, or the GM from this thing, or my buddy that plays the NHL. They don't talk about politics. There's no such thing. The only like, if you want to call your agent, I got another guy's agent, got his player a different contract than you. Politics, that's fine. We could say that, but the bottom line is, if you were better than that other player, you're probably gonna have a contract. If you're much better, especially. So, anyways, I feel like, you know, a lot of people can say the politics. You don't know. I know all this stuff. It's like, that's fine. You can have that opinion, and. It's fine, but I know that my world and the people that I deal with who actually are in the game, that's not really a term that gets thrown around. Now, and like, you can throw out like, yeah, someone paid for this, and that is kind of politics, I guess, like sometimes. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know, dude.
But it's the same. We always say it's like that. There's a small portion of shit where it's like, yep, that's actually bullshit.
Yeah, and I don't like it when someone else gets screwed for it. Yeah. But
it's like,
it's not 90% of it.
Yeah, how much of a problem?
Yeah.
You know? And that's why it's a hill that I will...
These arguments.
Yeah, I'll continue to die on that hill. I'll continue.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one, maybe getting into some extreme examples. So I want to talk about, like, maybe when the coach is a bad person.
Yeah.
And maybe how we can deal with that.
Well, just to go back, though, you said paid coaches.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say something, and it probably applies to a lot of these different things. I wanted to say this is careful what you wish for, right? Because if you think you're going to get a coach that you pay for him, he's going to be a good coach now. It could be true, but it could be not true. It could be exactly what you don't want, or because someone has a resume that's like whatever, like a really good hockey guy, it might not be appropriate, or it might be the wrong guy. So like, just because someone's paid doesn't mean that they're going to be great. And just because someone's not paid doesn't mean that they're not going to be good, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so anyway, sure. Sorry.
That's okay. So I want to go to bad people as coaches, extreme examples. So if coach does something inappropriate, which define that as you will, if a coach or an organization is purposely trying to bury your kid, which whether they're actually doing that or you just think they're doing that is a whole, another discussion. But kind of how to deal with things when it's actually, you feel like it's a bad person. Let's say you're already on the team and you realize like, okay, this is actually a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah. Defending what bad person is, right? Bad person to me is when there's stealing, there's lying that is harmful to the kid. Like, I mean, you shouldn't lie anyways, yeah. But
cheating,
the cheating, the just no values. Like for me, that would be extreme. I could say someone's maybe not the best person, but I if they're bad people, that's a different thing. I like my son to be around values and stuff. So there's two ways to approach it. Number one is you impose your values on your kid, right? It doesn't matter, like that behavior there, son, you're seeing a jackass here, right? You have to get your ice, I guess you got to do what you have to do to play, but you don't respect anything about this person because that's bad stuff. Like, and point that out. It's a line there, right? What is a bad person? And then if it's bad,
yeah, assuming it's over the line,
if it's over the line, then that has to be dealt with. And I think there's a point where, when it's over the line, that you have to, talk to them as adults or do the appropriate thing and go to the board or other sources, right? Obviously, yeah. Like if we're talking like something, you know, like sexual or that crosses that line, like some kind of abuse like that. It's like, there's zero for that stuff. Cause that's not mm-hmm. It's inexcusable, right? They're kids.
So the inappropriate one is easy. So if we say the coach or the organization is trying to bury your kid, I want to touch on this one a little bit extra because
Why would they do that though?
Well, I want to give an example. So
I could probably figure it out.
I told a few episodes ago that story about what happened with me when I got traded, and I had to do one of these board meetings with the governing body for Hockey Canada or whatever. From when I was there, it didn't seem like they were trying to screw me. It seemed like they didn't give a shit.
Okay.
Which is way different because if someone's trying to screw you, it's like they're intentionally trying to do something on purpose to affect your life negatively. That's if somebody's trying to screw you, that's what that means. There's intent there. What I gathered from the governing body, the organization, these people I had to deal with, it was a very serious situation to me. To them, it just seemed like they couldn't give a shit, which is the complete opposite of them trying to screw me. It's like they couldn't be bothered to deal with this situation in a way that I felt was appropriate. So I find, because that's another common claim, is like the coach is going to try to bury my kid, or the organization, they won't give me my release. They're trying to screw my kid from going to another team. And I feel like, for the most part, I feel like it's not that serious. I feel like it's more just like they don't actually care that much about your situation, and you just really do. So your perception of your perception of they're trying to bury me or they're trying to screw me is actually just they don't care enough about the situation to deal with it in great detail because people are busy and have other shit to do. So, and I find especially with these like hockey boards and like these other things, it's like these, especially in youth hockey, it's like they have other jobs, like they have other shit going on. They have other life things going on. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the board to deal with my situation. And it's like, I feel like they don't actually care that much about the situation. It's not that they're, or it's more that they don't care as opposed to I'm trying to screw you. Like I would lean more to the side of them just not caring too much versus they're actively trying to do something malicious. For the most part, that's my perception of it anyways.
I think so. Like, I think in different areas of the country or US and stuff, there's different rules, right? So some people would say, what are you guys talking about? So like, just to clear that up, like in Ontario where we live, there's, you play within a boundary for the most part, unless you're in Toronto. Or you go to a school when you go to Toronto or whatever. So what that means is that you live in this area, if you play, live in London area, you have to play for London. To go to play for another team, it takes paperwork, and it's just you're not allowed to, or else you would stack teams all over the place. So that's what you're, that's one of the things we're talking about. So if someone wants to leave a team, yeah. So what happens every year is, like, on every level, on every team, there's a certain amount of people that, number one, they want to leave because the coach sucks. Might be true. They want to leave because the team sucks. Might be true. They want to go play on a better team. They want to get more ice time. They think, you know, all these different things. So if you're sitting on a board and I come up to you and say, like, here's my problem. It's like, I'm one of probably 48 of the same exact story. They, to your point, yeah, no, we can't do it. And we don't care. This is what it is, because I don't want to listen to your long story about how your coach sucks, because there's 18 other kids that have a coach that sucks or whatever. And it's, yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. Yeah. The other side of that is we know several parents that are nothing but absolute nightmares for everybody, for their own coaches, or they coach for the members of their team. Everywhere they go are absolute nightmares, and there's always a problem. So at some point, I would believe that people not only don't just give a shit, but they would love for someone like that, not to take it on the kid, but sometimes that's the only way that these people can take it out on. And those people would like to bury those people. But that, I think for a lot of for most of it, it's brought up on themselves. Now, you might have a coach. I've seen this, where you've had a coach. I've had a coach tell me this, like, I tell the kids, I'll just bury them. And it's like, first of all.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
First of all, coach, like, really? But this is like expectations, reality, right? There are people like that. There are people like that. And I've, you know, a couple that I'm talking about, I'll just bury them. It's like, okay, really? That's what you want to do to a kid and the dad, because you don't like the dad, because the dad doesn't toe your line on everything. Okay, fine. But then what does bury mean? Does that mean he has control to never let you get to another level of hockey because he's such an influential person in the hockey world? Probably not. And even if he was, if you are good enough, you will still move on. Yeah. So it's like burying you, whatever.
And I think that's because these are the things people throw out, right? Like the bury my kid thing. And it's like, again, I'm not, just to play both sides, to be fair, I'm not saying it never happens ever, but I feel like it's more on the side of people just don't care about the situation that you think is really important or a big deal, because they have all these complaints that they deal with, and they also have another job and a life that they have if they're a board member in a youth organization. And then, to your point, you do run into those guys.
Well, you do.
Where it's there's guys that are just assholes, man. And yeah. it definitely happens.
It definitely happens. Those are extremes. But all that stuff, it's like, I don't know. It's... What am I trying to say? It's like, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Well, I do.
It's like, to me, they're so extreme. And like I find that this is what it is. I find that the more people that have the problems of what they say politics is, what they have issues with and stuff like that, it's usually the kid that's has a harder time making a team, or parents that are a pain in the ass.
Right.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Then no one wants to deal with you anyways. Right? I find that mostly. And then there's exceptions, but like, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, no.
I agree. Okay, so summary. I guess basically the point of all these different situations is you're not going to have optimal coaching for the most part, and you got to learn how to deal with hard things. So as the parents, sometimes that means you need to learn how to deal with the hard things also, because a lot of parents maybe have never had to deal with a hard thing. And at the same time that your kid is learning the lesson, maybe like you're also learning the lesson, because maybe you haven't had to deal with that too much, or you haven't recognized it in your own life when you should have dealt with it and you didn't. And now that you can see something more challenging happening to your kid, now you're recognizing it. And you're like, oh, this is such bullshit, whatever. And maybe you need to figure out how to deal with it too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, I would say that. I think everybody, like, as you get adults, you've dealt with something. But I think the hardest part when you have a kid in hockey, I think the hardest part for, because I think you would say I'm I don't get too emotional about stuff for my kid. Like I let him suffer facts. A little bit, yep. Right? But to see your son or your daughter have struggles, it hurts you. Like, I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
I'd rather my son not be, or kids that I, not any kid, I'd rather see them not go through the hurt phase or the not unfair phase. Like, if you can avoid that, or not avoid it, if you can protect them from that, you want to. And I think that's where a lot of parents get confused, if that's the word. It's like, remember I told you the one time Charlie had to talk to his coaches, and for I think 99.9% of the people would have went in and talked to the kid, to the coach, for their 11-year-old kid. But I said, son, like, you have to do the talking because this is your little thing. I'll be there to protect you. I'll be your support. I'll sit in the background, but you have to speak. You have to be a man, even though you don't have a hair on your nut yet, right? You have to be a man and man up. And he did. And I think a lot of people aren't willing to do that for their kid, to put them in a tough, tough, tough spot, like tough. And when you're talking, you're crying, which isn't manly, right? Because you're so scared. But that made him a better person, right? So I think that's more the issue, is like not so much that parents don't want to deal with their own thing. I think it's more that they want to protect their kids and they don't let their kids advocate enough for themselves, which as the years go on, as you know, the kids here that had a little bit of their own voice through life, they have no problem sitting down with you and asking you, you're an adult to them, about, like, you can have intelligent conversations with them, right? And they're enjoyable or they're debatable. And it's not like you're not hurting their feelings if you tell them something because they've been through it a little bit. And I think that is more the issue than, and I mean, I think a lot of parents haven't been through certain things, but I don't like to say that because everyone's got their thing. Because it wasn't hockey or a coach being an asshole, you might have had a teacher that put their hands on you all the time. And you're like, hey, dude. And that's a thing, man. That's a thing, right? Or a dad that was a drunk and smacked people around in the house. Like, those are things that just because it's not hockey doesn't make them whatever. But I think from a parent's perspective, I think that's really, really big time important that, you know, get them to do something where their feelings get hurt. Put them in situations where, yeah, you're going to have to solve a problem, right? And maybe together, or it's helpful if the parents could be together with them, for sure. But it's not doing it for them all the time. It's nudging them.
Yeah, I think that's more what I meant. I didn't mean like the parents have never done anything hard. It's more just like recognizing the parallel between maybe the thing you did and now the thing your kid's going through. Because to your point, it's that impulse to protect and keep them from the situation that might hurt their feelings or whatever. But it's like you've been saying the whole episode today. It's like if they're not actually in any danger, it's actually good for them to have to. You know, toughen up on it a little bit. I think that's good for any kid to be able to deal with circumstances on their own and advocate for themselves. I know that's something that we preach to a lot of our kids in here, but the only other thing I'll say to the parents too is like, just have some humility when you're dealing with the coaches too. Because there's a lot of, for people that are complainers, I don't want to say about all parents, but there's a lot of I know and the coach doesn't attitude with people that are the ones that are more likely to complain. So I think just approaching some of these more difficult, like challenging situations with your coach with a little bit of humility, maybe like you said, you don't want to act like you know everything, maybe not acting like you know everything when you're dealing with the coach who sees things from a different point of view. So
that's, being humble and not like, I think humble is a good way to put it, but also being not necessarily always confrontational, like going in there, guns blazing and saying, this guy had 8 more minutes of ice in him, and you start beating the coach down like how much of an idiot he is. That gets the back up against the wall, and it's like might not be the results you want. But if you have a conversation, say, hey, there's something we don't understand. You know, what is it? And then because what is it could be the answer you don't want to hear, right? Your kid is a jackass or something else, or just not good enough or whatever, right? So I think the way you approach it is very important, and humility is a very good one.
Yeah. So I think we'll leave that there. for this episode. The next one, I don't know what the next one is. Oh, skills. The next one we're going to talk about skills, skills and training.
That's right.
That is the next one.
Not bad.
So that's going to be number five. So hopefully we touched a lot of different things, and the point was not to have a right answer to address any of these questions. It was more to just do the both sides thing so that you guys can have a balanced approach to dealing with more challenging situations as parents, because it's not, like we said, it's not one thing. Everything depends on the circumstance.
Optimal versus reality.
Yeah, it's a really important thing to know, man, as the parents going into the situation, because you want the optimal, but reality is always going to be what reality is. So
when you go to when you get recruited, you could take this in any part of life though, but when you read the brochure on something, that's optimal.
Seriously. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
We have
good NHL example.
NHL coaches. We have skills coaches. We have nutrition coaches. We have workout. We have a gym. We have a place to do your schoolwork and da, 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 da. And it's like, wow, this is the best place in the world. It's like the first date. This is unbelievable.
First date, man. Honeymoon days.
That's optimal.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to leave it there. See you guys next week.